start here with our branch manager, Henry, and we'll go around with
calling in for Drayton. We don't own a lot yet, but we're managing the branch.
I'm John Harris. My wife, Sunshine, and I have lot 163 from the upper end.
Dirk Clayson, lot 301. My wife is Loretta Clayson.
I'm Ben Clarkson. This is my daughter McKenna. We have lot 56, I guess we'd claim as one I can remember.
Bad news.
Yeah, that's the other two. I didn't know if it's 71 or 71-72.
And I'm Shauna Cox, and I think ours is 291. We know where the lot is. I think it's 291.
I'm Linda Alderman. I'm the secretary at the ranch. Talked to a bunch of you on the phone and over the internet. I have lot one. My husband and I have lot 154 over here, and love it.
I'm David Turley, and I have lot 62.
I'm Nelson Allen, Joyce, my wife. We own lot 61, I think. We know how to get to it, too.
All right. Over here, Jody.
Oh, Jody Akers, Mark Akers. We own lot 128. And my mom's over there,
Wesley. Mike and Kathy Duvall, lot 160, right over here.
Bob and Lois, 9, lot 5 out in photo.
Bob Allen, lot 16.
Mike Shingers, my wife Jennifer, we own lot 215, way up next to the street.
Jennifer, what?
I don't know who that is.
Sanders.
Am I next?
Yeah.
Dale Clarkson. I have a few lots there. We're living on 164. I'm developing some things up there. I have a few lots left for sale over in Slide Canyon. This is my wife, Patsy, and our good friend, Marie White, who was one of the originals up here and did the color brochure and the video and stuff on Deer Springs. She and her husband have been a great promoter of Deer Springs Ranch.
I'm Nelson Allen's wife, Joyce, and our lot is 63, and we're looking at 161 to see what we're going to do.
I'm Tim Lenz. I'm all by myself over in Fly Canyon, so some people buy Bill's lot. My neighbor. And I'm on 273. I'm waiting.
Rich and Nancy Byrne, 138. And we're from California.
I'm Miles Willis. This is my son, Bob. My wife, Beverly, and I have a family on 165, 174.
69. Great. I've asked Nelson Allen to give us an opening prayer there. So we'll do that now.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity of being here on this beautiful part of my country, and we're grateful for the association and the blessings that this area brings to us. We're grateful for the bounties of life. We're grateful for the association we have with one another. And Father, we ask Thee for blessings upon this annual Deer Springs Ranch meeting. We pray that as the things are discussed concerning good of the people and this Deer Springs Ranch, that thy spirit will be with everybody, that there might be harmony, and that that we might be able to discuss the things that can be done that will be for the good of this ranch. Once again, we're grateful for the safety and that we've had in coming here. We ask thee to bless us through the rest of this day, and we pray for these things and say it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Our first item of business is reading and approval of last year's meeting minutes. Linda, if you could please read those.
I gave you this stack.
Here's a copy of those. Pass them on down. There are some available here if anybody else needs copies.
The DSROA Board of Directors for 2009 will be, meeting minutes. 2009 Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association Annual Meeting. Ed Belinsky is the one who took note. At 10:20, there was a call to order by John Southwick. Board members in attendance, Ed Belinsky, Dustin Hollis, Ben Clarkson, John Southwick, excused were Dave Sills and Shauna Cox. At 10:21, we had an invocation by Nancy Brayton. 10:22, we read the annual minutes from 2008. And approval of the annual meeting minutes with no dissent. There was a financial report by Linda Alderman and the ranch house account on hold with $100, the savings account with $1,170.10. The horse account has become the manager's account in May. Over $3,500 has gone through this account that is funded by the budget items that the managers use on a regular basis. Linda tracks the items, and the account now has $535.46 in it. The ranch account is $46,966.78. There was a discussion on ballot collection and the election. I don't know that name. Justin Scheibel from the DNR discussed their education problems and passed out pamphlets. Manager's report by Paul Brayton, back to basics, cabins, road, water, agriculture, signs, lots, and streets were all good. Roads. Doug Hunt, Longhorn steer discussion. Ben talked about BLM grazing. John had old and new business and discussed easements of the water pipeline across association property from Leaf Spring. Ben discussed protecting filers, others, and association on, I'm assuming that's water rights, isn't it?
Okay.
Dustin affirmed the discussion. Jody Akers and Brent Fulmer were in the discussion. And then at 11:42, what's the procedure? Everything needs to be in writing. Dale Clarkson withdrew his name from the Board of Election, and the election report was given by Linda Alderman, compiled by Lynette Foster, Nancy Brayton, Amy Belinsky, Mary Southwick, and her daughter. The new DSROA board for 2009-2010 are Brent Fulmer, Ben Clarkson, Dirk Clayson, John Harris, Ed Belinsky, Dave Sills, and Shauna Cox. There was discussion on the donkey lawsuit. The new board will meet today, and the meeting was closed. Benediction and blessing on a scrumptious lunch by Paul Brayton. New board will not meet today. Thank you. Left out not. Not a good thing.
Okay, any corrections or additions to the minutes? I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the 2009 annual minutes.
I'll second.
Second. Any discussion on the motion?
Call for question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are you opposed? Okay. All voted in favor. Okie dokie. The next thing on the agenda is to hear from the new candidates.
Financial report.
Oh, yep. Sorry. Got ahead of myself. Linda will be given the financial report.
You have a copy of the financial report. We have as assets that were taken in this year, a total of $120,000 were brought in. We have spent approximately, we received approximately,
we received $120,000 in
right.
income, and so far we spent $97,000. So, not this one.
About 120. Down here.
And I guess we have some other income as well. We had $120,000 received in dues. And we had another $23,000 received in other items such as cattle grazing leases, reservation fees for cabins, store items, and various other items. So far year to date on our profit and loss we're positive $45,000. We've got 3 months left to go in the budget. We've got quite a number of capital projects underway which will consume the majority of that, but we should be looking very well. Yeah.
Can you differentiate between your assessments and your capital assessments?
We are going to, from an accounting standpoint, this is something I kind of worked out with Niall. One of the problems that we had historically is that all of our assessment funds went directly to income. And so if we needed to save some money for something that would be a multiple year project, we'd have to pay income taxes on that.
Okay.
And so this year we're categorizing 40% of our fees that we receive in as capital improvement funds and 60% as maintenance funds, so that from an accounting perspective we can carry over some funds without it being considered as taxable income. And so we, however, I don't know that we'll have a lot to carry over because we've actually been doing most of those projects. If you look, for example, at the new roof on the ranch house, for example, the new roof on the barn, various other things that we'll give updates about, we have been utilizing a lot of those funds. But I think as an ongoing basis, this is a strategy that we can use so that we won't have to pay income tax simply because we haven't spent every penny by the end of the year. We ought to have some ability to save money and put it towards a future project, and this way will allow us to do that. So that's something that we worked out with our accountant, Niall Willis. The 60-40 split was a little bit arbitrary, but that's about the ratio of the budget under capital items. And so we'll have to do kind of some general ledger transfers towards the end of the year to make that all work from a tax perspective. And because at the moment, even the capital items we're putting down as expenses just so they show up on the profit and loss. But we'll transfer them over as a capital item. And work that all out with Niall, right, Niall?
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
The other question is, what did you do to get everyone to pay their assessments? This is the first year we've ever had any, no past due assessments.
Oh, there are.
Oh, there's a lot of past due assessments. However, we did make some good progress on our delinquent accounts by working with them and phone calls and letters and trying to work out some solutions, some payment plans, and so forth. So we have made some good progress on our delinquent accounts this year. So overall, even though we still have delinquent accounts, we, by the end of the year, I think we'll have less accounts receivable than we had the previous year.
Those are assessments that have been paid that were past due up until this year, and they've paid them off. So the extra goes into that account, into that category, rather.
Well, my guess would be under your ordinary income and expenses, you show past due assessments at zero, meaning you're not necessarily anticipating collecting any of those at this point. You're not running
well, no. For those of you that understand profit and loss, you know, until something is received, you know, it's not going to show up on the profit and loss. So if you look at the balance sheet, we should be able to see the past due assessments on that sheet rather than the profit and loss. And I'm not sure that that's even correct, but I can tell you that our past due assessments at the moment are
$23,639.
So
if you have any claims,
why
that was zero.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, we do have past due assessments that we're still working on. The majority of them at this point are just this year. So we're down to maybe about 8 or 10 lots that have something, well, maybe 12 that have something more than 1 year. So we do have quite a few, maybe even more than normal, that are just due late this year. I think it's been a bad economy, and probably some people that have maybe never been late before are late for the first time even this year. And so they're assessed an interest fee, and they receive a quarterly letter to encourage them to pay and let them know what their interest account has been. And so we're trying to be diligent with those collections.
Do you have a process to at some point convert that directly to loss, take it off your income?
No, the process basically is that the lot would eventually be foreclosed based on a lien and collected. So, you know, there's never, that's the worst case scenario, and that has happened a few times.
The lien process.
Yeah. We have recorded liens on all the lots that are over 1 year late, so that if they sell or something like that to somebody, that those liens will be forced to be cleaned up. And so that's kind of the process.
Do you want to notify them about lien filing?
Yes, we send them a letter.
We usually send them a letter with the lien before it's filed and said, this is going on if we can't get it cleared up. And so, you know, with the efforts that Linda's made in the board to try to be proactive, we've made a lot of progress in cleaning up the old delinquent build-up accounts, but this year has probably been worse than the last 3 or 4 years as far as the number of 2010 that are right now late and, you know, coming in the next year will go delinquent, based on just people's financial situation.
Yeah, and we're actually not too bad. We've got two errors on this report. One is $2,300 and one is $3,800 that are kind of an accounting issue that we need to work for. So if you take those two off, that's about $6,000-$7,000. So we're currently about
$16,000 in collectibles. So that's not too bad, I don't think, and I think that's less
that's
than
half than
we
it
started at the first of the year. So we're making headway.
Niall.
Oh, Niall can't. I told you before the meeting, no Niall questions. Especially on finance.
One of the things that maybe would make it a little easier to understand is there's a difference in what's called cash basis accounting and accrual basis accounting. Some of this is, and Linda does this on her QuickBooks. Some of this is done on an accrual basis just simply to show what assets are there and that type of thing. When we file the tax return, we get on what's called cash basis accounting. What that means is we only recognize the income we receive. If we haven't received it, we don't recognize it. We don't want to be paying taxes on something we haven't got.
Mm-hmm.
The same hand, we also pay, or we deduct only those expenses we pay for. So we don't accrue either direction. So this, if you're thinking of what is going to happen with the taxes, basically, if we haven't gotten the money, we don't recognize it.
That
Thank
was
you.
A really good
explanation.
Explanation. You're welcome to make clarifications, just not.
Thank you for explaining that out.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions about the financial report? All right. Thank you, Linda. The next item on our agenda is the issue associated with new board of directors, and I wanted to explain just a few things first. We have 7 board of directors, and this year 4 of them are up for replacement. So the 3 board members that are not up for replacement are Brent Fulmer, who's not here, myself, and Ben Clarkson. And the reason, you know, we have 2-year terms, and so they're alternating terms so that you don't end up with a whole new board at any given time. The board members that are up for replacement are Dave Harris, Shauna Cox, Dave Turley.
How about John Harris?
John Harris.
John Harris.
You're reading the error that's in there.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
It must be so.
No, there's an error in there that talks to Dave Harris.
Okay.
I thought I said
Dave John Harris.
Is that your middle name?
No, it's Willis. You know,
All right.
Maybe that's where I got that, Joe.
Shauna, Dave Turley, and Ed Belinsky, who's not here today. And so on your agenda there, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 nominees that we can choose to vote from. And we've asked each of these 10 people to put some stuff that we've posted on the website, and also to take a few minutes here this morning and talk about their feelings about the ranch and why they would like to run for a board member. And after that, then we'll cast our votes. And you turn your votes into Linda here on your ballots. And so that's kind of the process that we'll go through. As far as I can remember, that's a pretty good number of people that are willing to run on the board. So, you know, a lot of times associations have a hard time coaching volunteers to do anything, and I think it's real nice statement that we have so many good choices. And so we'll kind of ask these people to step up forward here and talk a little bit about themselves in the order that they voted on this sheet. at least those that are here. I think there are a couple maybe missing. So, Jody?
I'm Jody Akers, and I think it's Warwick, 128, with my husband Marv. We bought, I guess, in 2002. We really, really love it up here. It's our little sanctuary away from where we're from, down in Phoenix area. So, peaceful is really good for us. We really love that part of the ranch. I'm running for the board because I wanted to learn how the decisions were made up here to get things done, what was getting done, kind of get educated in the background of the ranch because I really didn't know just coming up. Spending time at Cabin One, which we so dearly love, didn't know behind the scenes things that were going on and to learn about that. So I started attending the board meetings last year and been going through this the whole last year with suggestions from other people involved in the ranch. We've decided we made ourselves a water committee, so we have that in place. We also collected over 40 water rights that were going to wrong address with the information to the state of Utah for the water right division. So we got that accomplished, and I'd like to see more be accomplished this year. Like, the roads is an issue for me, I think, for the people that live up in the farther up. Haven't seen a whole lot of improvement on those in the last few years, and I'd like to work on that this year. And also, paper storage. All of our files and stuff that we've accumulated over the how many years the ranch has been here, some kind of system to get it down where we have it electronic, we can find it, we can access the papers that we need when we need them. So that's why I'm running for the board this year. Hopefully help that out and get that moving along. That's, again, to keep educated in what's going on and how we do things. So I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thanks, Jody. Ed Belinsky is not here, and did he have any statement he wanted us to read? Or?
Ed had a short statement that we sent out.
It's right here.
My name is Ed Belinsky, and Tammy and I own Lot 73 in Crawford Canyon. We have been members for 15 or so years and love the ranch for just what it is, an old western ranch. I have served the last 2 years on the board and have stuck with the ranch for ranch sakes mentality. I support and promote all those things listed in the original Clarkson brochure we read when we first bought. I would like to focus more attention on the eastern and western parts of the ranch since the last couple of years we've devoted to the north and central parts of the ranch. I would like to continue to maintain and develop those things dear to the lot owners who support me, who have supported me for the past 2 years, water, roads, and infrastructure. Ed Belinsky has also been over the finances and legal matters, which we have none now. Legal.
No finance.
Maybe that was why he wasn't here today.
Dale Clarkson next.
Pat and I have been involved up here actually 7 or 8 years before the ranch, as you folks know it, was ever developed. We love this area. We've tried hard to help build it. We see some of the aging of the cabins, aging of the roads, aging of a lot of things that needs attention. And we've been off the board for a few years. There are some real challenges ahead of us to keep and make your spring service members, I think, more actively than it has the last 2 years. And I think our water rights need some attention. Last year we did several $1,000s worth of improvements in different reservoirs. We saw that a lot of land was cleared, willows and trash trees were taken off and burnt. Our meadow area was expanded. and some of those projects are 75% completed, so they need some additional attention. Excited with the headway that the board made this last year in some of these areas. I think it is, so there is some critical issues that we need to keep working on. For that reason, I accepted the nomination to the board.
Thank you, Dal. Shauna Cox. I would like to mention, too, it's interesting. I don't know if this has ever happened in the history. Maybe Dale can tell us that all the outgoing members have been willing to reserve. Again, that's, I think, an amazing thing.
Well, that's because we had a lot of peace and harmony in going into this board, and it has been really, really great. And I think that's what helps us to get things moved along. And I really appreciate... I think we've found a different kind of a niche. What happens in this kind of a group, when we have somebody from so many diversities and we have conflicts, I think that we're trying hard to pull it together. We want to be a family so that we can work together and get things done. And that's kind of why we started the Olympics and seeing some activities starting this year. To be annual things, to try to pull everybody together so that we can have these family reunions kind of thing, so that people learn to appreciate their neighbors and know who their neighbor is. This is God's country, and this is a gorgeous place for us to live and to have our families and to unite, and I think that's why we came here. And so I am really excited to continue trying to... we've got it started this year, and we're going to try to move along and add more activities so that people have a good time when they come out here. It doesn't always take a lot of money, but it takes friendship and rubbing shoulder to shoulder and things that we can do together so that we have peace and harmony. And so that there's always the physical things that have to be done. There definitely is an important thing, the roads and water. But I think that if our hearts are together, if we're united and we can work out our troubles, that we can accomplish a lot. When we have conflicts, we don't get very far. Anyway, I appreciate it, and I love to serve on a board that's in harmony. Anyway, I appreciate you. Thanks.
Thanks, Shauna. Dean DeMille. Do you have any written statement?
I do not have a written statement for Dean DeMille. He lives in Cedar City, has a turf farm over there. He owns lot number 14.
Next, Kathy Duvall.
We own lot number 160, and it was I feel a miracle how I received it in directions to come here. I feel very, very connected to this property and love it, and I honor and admire Dale and Patsy for providing it for all of us. It's been through a lot of trouble and agony that they've presented it and preserved this property for us. I know that the purpose of the ranch is to bring the families together, all of our families, and the changes in our grandchildren as they come to this ranch. You see four little children from Florida who have never known anything but pavement come here, and their mother being scared to death, what if I don't like it? I can go back into town. But by the time they left, they were like little heathens running nude in the red sand. And they didn't want to get their clothes back on, and they loved everything about it. So the change in the children that come is the reason why I want to preserve the ranch as it is and help to guide it into a future that will allow it to be even better than it's ever been. My focus is on the water rights. I agree with you. The roads have to... Yes, the roads. Yeah, my sister nearly lost her neck last week as we tried to show her the ranch. But so the roads, and my focus happens to be very strongly on this area here. The first thing that people see when they come to the ranch is the home headquarters. And I believe that if we're going to keep a good family like the Greitens, we need to provide a better home for them to live in this room. So I feel strongly that we need to look at and
at the cabins and to build upon what we have. Not that it takes a ton of money, but it takes a ton of elbow grease, and we need to work together to provide those types of activities and things at this ranch. It's a unique place. It has a place of honor and love in a lot of our hearts, and only we can preserve that honor and love for our future generations to enjoy what we've already enjoyed. I'd love to serve on the board. If I don't, I'd love to help the board do whatever they need to do.
Thanks, Kathy. Michelle Hall. Do you have it?
Michelle Hall owns lot 83. She's owned it for 3 years. My children and I come out at least 3 times a year. It is great to see them play outside and enjoy the crisp fresh air, the animals, and fishing in the ponds. One of my 3 children recently passed away. My fondest memory of his is of him with his head out of the sunroof in the truck looking down at me. He was enjoying the fresh air, and the blue sky was behind him as he was pointing to the animals. I also enjoy the idea that my kids can live for a weekend without TV, Xbox, or computers, you know, like when we were kids. I would like to be part of the board to help keep the ranch growing strong and beautiful and be a beautiful place for our families to escape to. I enjoy getting away from the ranch to escape the hustle and bustle of work, school, and day-to-day activities. I enjoy spending quality time with my kids and showing them the wonderful parks, animals, and outdoor activities that are not available to us in Las Vegas. I believe that as an active board member of the board, it is your responsibility to provide the necessary information to owners and help make informed decisions. There's Brent. That will better the association as a whole. I would like to help get some quotes to have some of the roads with year-round access. I would also like to see if it is possible to allow for some other activities such as horseback riding, more volunteers to help with cabins and donating items needed. I want to be involved with the association and help make each owner's experience at the ranch and their property as wonderful as my own.
Thank you. John Willis Harris.
Well, yeah, I got that Dave out of there. Well, he announced my name. I'm John Harris. My wife is Sunshine. We, as I said earlier, we have lot 163. It's on the upper end. And as I'm looking at this, we do have a lot of people that are willing to serve. And no matter how this turns out, I see good names on there. So the ranch looks to me like it's going to be in good shape the next couple of years. And anyway, I've been on the board for 2.5 years. I come in appointed for about 6 months. And I've learned one thing. Well, I learned a lot of things, but one thing I've learned is there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Board members that I've been associated with here have done, an excellent job under the direction of Dirk Clayton here. I appreciate him and all that he's done. This ranch is getting older, and because it is, things are getting older. It's going to take a lot more work as we go along and a lot more money.
Who's on the back row?
And that's kind of tough, you know, to raise the money to take care of all that needs to be done, but it's coming. Because the ranch is like me, it's not getting any younger. And it requires more maintenance. And anyway, we've had some good volunteers here that have done some work, and smart decisions to save money. The reason I would like to run again is there's a lot of unfinished work that we started, and my responsibility has been the cabins, and there's been some work on them, but there's much more that needs to be done. And also, as Shauna said, here around headquarters, a lot to be done. And as a board member, and I know that the board members that have been on the board have worked very hard to try to figure out how to prioritize what needs to be done and save money where we can and raise money where we can to get things done. They've done a good job of it, and it's going to be tougher as we go, and I want to work towards helping solve that problem, the problems of having the money without having to raise assessments to each of the members. I think there's ways we can probably do it without making this a commercial project. We don't want that. And, I hope to help with that. And that's why I'd be asking for your votes. But either way it goes, we've got plenty of good people here. So, thank you.
Thanks, John. Ken Lynn.
Hey, back here. I've been a member since the mid-90s. I love this privacy. Decision. Best of the last 10 years of my life building a small place up on the west side. And I've really enjoyed being active in the things that advance. I'd like to maintain infrastructure as best we can within the budget that we have. While we try and make the improvements that we need to make, because it's so long. I was on the board for a while and the board treasurer. We had a fairly good year. I thought that year too. The big thing is that it takes a lot to run this ranch, and it takes all the people we can get. I appreciate the things the board's done this year and what's been done in the past. I hope people continue on this thing. We're making tremendous progress. Despite what people say about the roads, I've been here since the mid-90s, and I think they're still about as good as they've ever been, in my record. My side of the ranch has not been touched for a couple of years, you're right, but it's maintained, you know, and we probably do need to do some ditching and some other stuff like that, but we don't need to make an all-weather road. I don't expect to get up my cabin in the middle of the winter or anything like that. I know enough now that I don't drive on the roads when it's raining, and I only have to wait an hour or two, and everything just works out fine. So, I think less is more, and I'd like to do as much as we can without extending ourselves out to the point that we have to worry about how we're going to do it. So.
Thank you, Ken. Dave Turley.
I'm going to read some of what I wrote. So, for those of you that have read it, I apologize, but this is, I need to put my thoughts down in writing so I convey what I think. For starters, I think that we need a long-term plan. We've done great things in the past. I don't know that we've had a lot of vision other than keep the status quo and just keep things as they are, which is great, unless we want things different, hopefully improved, and whatever improved means is what we need to decide, if that's what we want, if that's the direction we want to go, and I'll get to that a little bit later. What do I enjoy most about Deer Springs is being here, and if I can't be here, I'm planning my next trip here, and that leads me to, it should be, I think, a place to come to, a destination that we look forward to, and a place that we can come to and do things, whether it's activities that we create or activities that are here. Maybe, for example, fishing, horseback riding has been mentioned. Maybe we could get back into that. Bicycle rentals, those kind of things. So I think it should not just be a piece of dirt, but it should actually be a place that we can do family activities or wander off on our own or whatever it is, but a place where we've got some maybe organized or semi-organized things to do. What do I feel is the most important aspect of being a member of the board of directors is to help create a vision for what we want as owners, both now and in the future. Again, getting back to, we need a plan. We need to know where we want to be 5, 10, and 40 years from now. Not a lot has changed in the 35 years that I've seen the ranch. And a lot of people think that's great. But can we focus our attention, get our momentum going in a certain direction? And I'm not talking about necessarily about commercial, whatever that means. I'm simply saying we need to get our ideas together and decide, is this the way we want it? Because if that's what we decide, it'll be like this 40 years from now. And someone mentioned to me this morning, who am I passing this on to? Are my children going to come back to the ranch like I've come back all these years? And I want to be a part of the process in making that happen, to be able to pass the baton. And then finally, what ideas do you have for improvement? I mentioned a few of these. We worked on the barn. Some more needs to be done. And I think that's important for a number of reasons. We've got the log cabin up in the meadow that should be restored. And otherwise, it's just going to turn into firewood, and there'll be nothing left of it. Again, someone's mentioned not increasing the association fees. I think that's important. Let's work within the budget that we have, and maybe create additional ways. We've heard earlier about the budget of additional income that come in, both from the hunting, from the cattle grazing. Some improvements that need to be made. Very important that we plan ahead. We had a river flowing through here with these last rains. We've got the wash back here that's not very far from that garden cabin. If we don't plan for these things, we are going to have to throw a lot of money at them later on to try and get things in order that we wouldn't have had to spend so much money on if we'd have planned ahead. So better use of the water that we have, the water rights, that's been mentioned. And again, some of the smaller things, we're going to have some trails for four-wheelers, for bicycles that are going to be developed, I think, or in the process of being developed when we have the motorcycles show up. And I think these are good things. We plan for them, we're on top of them, and we'll see these things happen, and I think it's very important. And then also the wild game, improving the habitat. So those are a few items. If I don't get your vote, that's okay. I'll still be involved one way or another. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. We'd encourage everybody now to submit your votes to Linda. We'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. In any case, we'll go through these updates that are under item 7 on the agenda, the first one being the county road update. Probably most of you noticed the road looked a little bit better on its way in today. I'll give you a little bit of an update on what's going on there. The county has been fighting a legal battle with the BLM for, I think, about 5 years now. Over the jurisdiction of roads. At some point in time, they were told by Judge Tina Campbell in a 10th District Court proceeding that the county did not have a legal right to maintain those roads. And so even though they'd been battling the issue legally, they had been maintaining the roads up to that point, and at that point they discontinued any maintenance associated with the roads. So we had 2 or 3 years there that were pretty bad with none of their maintenance. We did get permission from the BLM a couple of times to do some road maintenance on the roads ourselves, and so we did some of that last fall and this spring. to try to help with some of the rough issues, but then they wanted us to go through a more official process, so we filed for our own legal permit to be able to work on the road. There were two or three issues. One issue is maintenance, but the other issue is even legal access, which I consider to be more important than maintenance, because for a period of time it was questionable if we even had legal access on that road, although the BLM never took any issue with that. You know, obviously any title company couldn't verify access if it was no longer a county road, and so there were some real concerns there that I felt were even beyond the maintenance aspects. So we had a lot of support from different members, talking to the BLM, talking to the county. The BLM was they kind of took a position about midway this year that they said, well, sure, you can, we'll allow the county to maintain the roads. We're not stopping the county from maintaining the roads. And that was a position that was given to them to take from their legal counsel, basically. And it was almost a trap for our county, because in our county several times I've been in several meetings with them and the BLM, and the county said, well, can you give us that in writing? You know, where is our, you know, legal authority? Will you provide that for us? Well, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll do something. But in the meantime, it's okay if you go ahead and work on the roads. We're not, you know, stopping you from that. And so they would never provide anything in writing. And their strategy was to hope that the county would maintain the road. And then as the county lawsuits proceeded, when they came before a judge, the judge would simply more than likely throw the issue out, because he would say, well, where's the problem? Legal standing, you have to have what's called a case for controversy. You can't have a litigation over a matter where there's no, you know, perceived problem to debate. And so the problem to debate was the maintenance and the safety and the legal aspect of the road for accessibility and so forth. So we helped a lot with that by filing our own rights to maintain the road and working on that with the BLM. That gave also the county more evidence that, see, things have gotten so bad that other entities are also, you know, pursuing trying to maintain those. The county had filed what they called a quiet title action, and they had grouped about 15 roads into a road that, into an action that they called the Scudamore Road. They have about another 45 roads into one that is called the Hole in the Rock Road lawsuit. And the county had filed a motion for summary judgment to see if they could expedite the issue with the Scudamore roads. And they basically pulled out four roads to file for a summary judgment on just those four of the 15 roads, and the judge denied summary judgment on those four roads. And so they pulled out just the Scudamore Road and asked for summary judgment on that, and they were granted summary judgment, partially because the BLM did not fight that summary judgment on the Scudamore Road. However, out of the about 36 miles of road, 2.6 miles of the road crosses in and out of what used to be some school trust land sections that were traded over to an area out by Lake Powell, when the monument was created, because the state felt like their lands were no longer developable or usable once they were inside the boundaries of the monument. And so the sections of ground that that our Scudamore Road happened to cross through that used to be those old state trust land sections, the BLM has not granted us legal standing on those areas of the road. So as you drive along, you kind of see, well, why did they not maintain this section? If you look closely, there are some little brown road signs, and you'll kind of see that where they begin and end in these little sections, that that they still don't have authority to do that. And so the county's working on that, and I think they'll probably be able to verify that when they were state trust lands, they had legal access then, and hopefully when the state deeded those properties to the BLM, we'll be able to show in some of the documents that they reserved the right-of-ways across those lands. But that's still being researched and fought. But I guess that goes to point out how reasonable the BLM's being in regard to issues where they would recognize now that the Scudamore Road is legally a county road, but they would still fight and hold on to a few snippets of the road that just to be aggravation, in my opinion. And so hopefully we'll work through these things. Generally, I would say that we're making progress with the BLM. The BLM has a new state director, Joe Salva, who just moved here recently, actually grew up in Utah or raised his family in Utah for a long time, and I really have a good feeling about his leadership and help on some of these things, and as well as the county's ongoing that. So I think we'll see continued progress, but this was the first RS-2477 granted right-of-way in the United States, from my understanding. So it's a huge victory. And, the county stands to, should receive some thanks. I sent out some emails. Most of you probably have seen them or on the website, the address. You can send some thanks to our county for their work on that, because they've taken a lot of criticism. I've witnessed firsthand a lot of people tell them how, you know, their strategy is stupid or flawed, and why don't they just go out and maintain the roads and all these kind of things. And so they've held in there, and they've done something that's really going to be a great thing. And now that this has happened, excepting the small stiff sections that went through the trust lands, this road can never be taken away from the county. So this is there's no appeal process, because it was agreed to in the summary judgment by the BLM. It's, you know, resolved forever. And so that's a great, great thing. And the other thing that was very impressive is this ruling was handed out on, I think, I can't remember what day of the week it was, but the very next morning, the 31st of August, the very next morning, the county was out here with their grader and working on this road. And so that's pretty impressive. As part of kind of a celebration for this, the county was asked by a Utah organization, which our county is a strong supporter in, called Take Back Utah, if they could hold a rally here at Deer Springs Ranch on September
25th. Yes.
And so we discussed that as a board, polled the board members by email, and that has been approved.
And so they'll be here on Saturday. We'll see a lot of news media coverage from our, you know, Utah news channels and so forth associated with that. It should be a chance for some good exposure to the ranch, and we want to be show our hospitality to that organization. We've offered that they can camp here the night before, those people that want to camp, and Brayton's will help kind of coordinate some camping spots here, and the main rally I think will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon up around the airstrip area. So anyway, some really great news for us. There's still lots of other county roads that those of us that live in the county are still anxious to see resolved, but that pretty much resolves Deer Springs. Kind of an interesting side note, the paved part of the road down where the pavement ends in Johnson Canyon is not a county road yet. You know, it hasn't suffered in its maintenance as much as the Scudamore Road, and that's why they really focused on that, but we also still need to litigate the part of the paved road from where private property ends up to the where the Scudamore intersection begins. And so, you know, that's maybe about 7 or 8 miles of the pavement there that's still yet to fall under county control.
In the notice that was sent out via the email, it said there's still 9 miles unresolved. Is that 7 of those 9 miles?
That and the sections across the school section. Yeah, there's about 2.5 miles on the Scudamore Road.
We're in relation to the ranch.
Yeah, like for example, the hillside coming over the as right here as you come in the ranch is the largest section. That doesn't look too bad because we've bladed it a couple of times when we got BLM's permission. But that's the largest section of interference. There's about almost a mile there that's, you know, from our cattle guard up and over the hill and around that bend that they don't have jurisdiction on. And some of the sections are like in between us and Johnny Brown and past Johnny Brown, you know, towards Canada. So
there's sections of areas that are like Bull Valley Gorge and Lake Wash and Ellis Creek.
Right. Well, they just happen to be where the state trust lands. If you look at a map of the state of Utah, originally in every township there were 4 state trust lands properties, four one square mile sections that were given to the state to support the schools. This was done in a number of western states when the states were granted statehood so that the state would have some ability to generate revenue, whether it's mining or cattle grazing or whatever it is that they would do to generate funds. And so just where those happened to be, everywhere they were.
At least in those sections, when they come your path, where somebody jumped in.
Well, the somebody's, you know, a lot of times were us, but, well, and we did have permission, but like I say, it'll still be an issue. In the next year, I think that those will also be resolved, you know, but there's still a little bit more work to do.
There's a couple of parts that passed John Davis to go to
Can I make a comment? You'll see a little white sign about the
Jump in. Maintained road for the next 0.4 miles or 0.1 miles as they cross across the property. We'd all, of course, wondered what the purpose of the signs by the inspection.
I would really like to thank Dirk and all of you, because you know that we've been working on those roads for 18 years, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that because of all the letters and the phone calls that we pushed there, that's what helped instigate this thing. We put the pressure on the county, put the pressure on the BLM, and all the rallies that we rode to Salt Lake. And this is Don Black is the head of the group that you're talking about. He's actually it's a 4x4 club, motorcycles, the outdoors club, and that's who will be coming. And it's a great celebration, because if you understand the magnitude of what just happened, as we really set precedence that the West can take the US-2477s back legally if we got the first foot in the door, and you guys are part of history because you helped do that, and we appreciate all the work Dirk's been working on that to get this finished. It was awesome. We owe a lot to our county commissioners.
Okay, next update, the pavilion, Mr. Dave Turley.
We're working on the permit and some details on the plans. Is that it?
I have the plans here, and I officially hand over the permit process to Brent Fulmer.
All right.
Witnessed by all. So the county wanted us to have a building permit to do this, which isn't unusual, but they also wanted us, because somewhat the nature of the fact that it was maybe not open to the public, but there was a lot of members using it and stuff, they wanted us to have an officially engineered blueprint, and so we have been working through that. That's what Brent has there, so we kind of had about a 2-week delay in getting our building permit, or we'd probably be ready to work on that this afternoon, but that's where we are on the permit aspect. And so we did, I should mention, Dave was prepared to come down and work on that this weekend, assuming that we would have had the cement poured and everything ready. We do have the gravel up there and the site roughed out, so if you drive up to the fish pond, you can see where it is. But instead, we chose to use Dave's time to do the ranch house roof. And then he'll...
We appreciate it.
That's why he's sitting in that chair. That's right.
He's been working hard.
Break, buddy. Take a break.
Thanks, bro.
So any other words about the pavilion? You want to talk about size or location or anything more?
No.
You say the size.
What are the dimensions on it? 26 by what?
24 by 22.
24 by 22. Thank
you. So it'll be on concrete. It'll be open. It'll have supports and a roof. And it'll be between the upper pond and the what?
Cabin.
Hidden cabin.
The hidden cabin. That's where it'll be. And it'll be up a couple weeks from now. We'll be ready to put it together, right?
Yep. Should be ready. So we'll make kind of a parking area around it, and should be a real nice place to gather up there and
have fun.
And stay out of the sun. You know, the ranch could probably benefit from half a dozen pavilion sites, but that was the site that we thought something would work out well. someday we'd like to see a bigger pavilion maybe down here in the lower area, but that should be a real good size to deal with most family gatherings and stuff up there.
Once we get this one done, we can do smaller ones at each of the ponds or wherever, but we have material to do. Most of the material we need to do another 4 or 5 small ones, big enough for a couple of picnic tables.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
We reestablished the water. There used to be a water spigot at the pond that's no longer there. Will you establish your water outlet there at the Footage Pavilion?
One way or another, from either the tank or somewhere. Because that was overflow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Overflow from the spring tank.
Yeah. You know,
the problem with putting one, I thought about putting one up, the cows, they just mow it over. So we got to try to build some
concrete pillars, maybe.
Something there.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay, thanks. Barn restoration, Brent Fulmer.
If you want to walk over and take a look at the barn, Dave, when did you re-roof the barn? Sometime?
A couple months ago.
The roof looks great. The structure itself doesn't. So, anyways, we had donated, and they're in Kanab, and I've got to get them hauled up here and put on the sawmill and cut, but we're going to replace 3 columns and 2 beams. And I've got some 25-foot logs that have been donated, and I'm going to cut them, and we're going to replace all the front structural members that are just really shaky. And anyway, we're going to be working on that, and I'm going to get those logs hauled up here next week and then actually start milling them and then get them down here. So anyway, we will let everybody know we're going to replace that when we do that. That's going to be actually what we probably ought to do is get somebody to video it, because it'll either be successful or on America's Funniest Home Video.
Are you going to need some help from us, I assume?
Oh, yeah, we're going to need some big help.
So you'll send out emails so we
know
what
the forklift can go up to 30 feet, so we can actually lift parts of the barn, pull the columns out, you know, leave it in place, pull the columns out, put the columns in, and but it's going to be tricky to do. And so we'll make sure everybody knows about it when we do it. So anyway, that's but Paul's already taken and reinforced. He did some cabling work in it to tighten everything up. But replacing these 5 structural members will make a world of difference. That barn will last another 100 years.
Off the dirt.
Yeah, we got, that's the other part. We got wood to soil contact up there. And it's, you know, things are rotten away, and we can't afford to do that. So we're going to do it with, we'll pour some sonotubes and actually mount the columns up above the dirt and on concrete. And so, anyway, it'll be fun.
That's the plan.
And we do have trailer brakes working now.
Oh, really? Oh, you do?
Oh, that's right.
Okay, cool.
We're good to go.
That's okay. Wonderful.
And I can load them for you, too.
That'll be helpful.
Okay, ranch activities. Shauna Cox.
We have been having a little fun this year. We haven't had very many people show up to the cattle drives yet, but we're, because our scheduling hasn't got quite, it's really hard to predict exactly when they'll bring the cattle in. So what we have to do is figure out a better way to inform people. It's really hard. We try to pick a date and then let you know when it was, but then it worked out for kind of different. But anyway, we will work on that a little better. We had a 4th of July celebration here. There were people that came out and were able to participate in that. What we're trying to do with this Olympics that we started is try to bring people in the time that our cabins are slow. So that might help get people here during that period of time. So we did it during August, and we had a lot of fun, and I'll give out the words in a little bit when we're finished here. And it happened to be a rainy day. Well, you know, we can't predict rain, and it's okay. And we had a great time anyway. We're still trying to get some, we'll be working on some little pads and things to put for RV parks. We're trying to do dump stations and a few things like that that we're working on so that people, when they come with their trailers or mobile homes or their motor homes, that they'll have a place to park so you can come in. But it will be no charge, but it will be that we'll have a place that they can camp and be able to do that here by the airport and down here by the headquarters. Thank you. Yeah, anyway, we're working on those things. We have lots of ideas in the works. We have some things that if you come here, we're going to have some geocache maps so that people that want to, if you've ever done geocache before, that you'll be able to come and go out and find these things, put your name when you find it, and that can happen at any point in time. We'll have a few things in here that people can just come and do, and then we'll just have a few major, we're just working on things at a time and adding so that we can see what best fits everyone. Also at the, we have that shooting range up by the gravel pit. If anybody wants to go up there, we've got that set up, and you can be able to get targets in here if you want to. So that's what we're working on.
Thanks, Shauna. Appreciate all your activities. Cabin renovations, John Harris.
Yeah, on the cabin renovations, I think Paul Brayson on cabin number 2, it was seriously sagging because, out of plumb because of the footings that were old and supporting the structure there. I think he spent a lot of hours up there and jacking that back up and understand it approximately out of plumb. And I guess Dave Sims is rebuilding the balcony up there. And he's not quite finished with that, but he's going pretty good on it. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And cabin number 6, we're ordering some new doors for that whole front back. We're not getting the whole structure there because I think ultimately what we'd like to have is the same kind of doors on all of them, all the cabins up there, so that we wouldn't have a lot of different kinds of doors to buy. Although these here are going to have to be custom made because that building is kind of a little undersized, shall we say. So we're going to have the custom made doors on it, and I think they're going to run between $600 and $700. And we were talking about we were going to order them this year, and Brad Bull, who he's one of our owners, one of our members out there, Brad Bull. At one time, that's what he did. He came to work professionally. So he knows what he's doing. And when we get to that, I think myself and Paul will assist him on it. But because of finances, Dirk, are we postponing that? So
no, we're good. Yeah.
We're good to go with it. Okay, so we'll be doing that fairly soon. And well, a lot of the others got a lot of work, but you know, if it's not moving fast enough, I see Dave Harris has been messing around with it, so blame it on him.
That's the bad guy. Okay, thank you very much, John. I'd like Nancy and Paul to talk a little bit about this adopt a cabin concept.
Okay, we promoted probably in the spring, talking about it, adopt a cabin program, where members would adopt their favorite cabin and do whatever they're able to do. Some members have, you know, more finances than others to put into the cabin. So right now we have 6 of our cabins are adopted. There's three families adopting the garden cabin. That work probably won't start until spring because we're so late in the year. But cabin 7, 8, 3, and 4 have been adopted. Everybody's invited to go look at cabin 8 today if they'd like. We got permission from Mr. Allen to be able to go up and look at it. Huh? Go ahead.
We came up here last night about 12, got here about 12 o'clock. We stayed in cabin 8 about a month ago. I was a little bit embarrassed the last time we stayed in it. We came in here last night and, you know, without lights and starting the lanterns, I looked around and I thought, wow, what has happened to this place? So it was fun to go in and see the things that have been done to that cabin. It's a situation where before I wouldn't have wanted to bring any friends up here. But now with that cabin, the way it looks and the care that's been taken, it's really nice. And so I appreciate what you guys have done on that about the cabin. That's a great idea.
Cabin 4 has a brand new bathroom in it right now. Cabin 8 is actually getting a new bathroom or a new floor the 20th through the 25th of this month.
I think a lot of it is this is money that's not coming out of the ranch budget. I'm not telling everybody to sink their money into the cabin. You know, helping out here, you know, people come up and say, well, I really like this cabin. You guys ought to do this and do that. And we're only kind of limited to what we could do. And I think it's really neat that people take these cabins under their wings and kind of make it their little baby. And something Nancy's done is put up plaques up in the cabin saying, 2010, the cabin was adopted by so-and-so, lost, whatever. And I think in the future, you look back 10 years from now, you look at that plaque and you look at the people that kind of took that cabin and look at what they did. I think it would be a great accomplishment in the future.
Oh, I think seven of the cabins have been adopted. I'm sorry. Seven, eight, the garden cabin, 2, 1, and 3.
I kind of gave Larry
and
10
four.
Cabin 2.
Cool. Anyway, so if anybody has any efforts energy to put into those things, we've got plenty of projects, and I think we've always had a lot of good volunteer effort, but I would like to give some credit to the Braytons for taking the volunteer energy and putting it towards something that is directed and organized and beneficial to the ranch. And so I think that's been a good thing. We have asked kind of as a board policy for people if they want to do things that they coordinate it through the Brayton so we don't end up with too much of a hodgepodge scenario. But that's really worked out great to have their positive energies under the Brayton's direction and accomplishing some good things in the cabins. Anything else on that?
So I'm grateful for everything everybody's done there, for those that have volunteered and are working there. And pretty much.
We did get some new bedding and stuff thanks to working with the Clarksons, mattresses and mattress covers and headboards. We bought new mattresses for everything, right?
Just cabin 10.
Oh, just cabin 10.
Yeah, cabin 10 was in sad need of something. So it's much better now.
So anyhow, a lot of good improvements being made. If we can keep that energy going, I think we'll get some really good mileage out of it. Thank you.
County zoning ordinance update. Some of you have probably seen some of the email and communication on that. I could give a little bit of an update and encourage you all, you should still be concerned about the zoning ordinances with the county. Basically what happened is maybe about 8 years ago or something like this, Deer Springs was zoned agriculture, the individual parcels, and the county changed most parcels like this to what they called forest recreation, because it wasn't really being used for agricultural production, but for the most part, that was just a name change. They didn't add new restrictions. If you look at the forest recreation zone, it was about one page in length, not a lot of detail, not a lot of restrictions, but it did allow for example, a second cabin dwelling on a lot, and it didn't have a lot of restrictions for uses. So they changed kind of without notice to everybody, and came up with a new zoning ordinance in 2006 or 8 or something like that, and it no longer had forest recreation in it. And so they had kind of said at that time, as I talked with them, well, you know we need to do something about that, but this is still zoned as forest recreation. And then they decided here about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, something like that, that they needed to rezone everything that was in forest recreation and make it fit within one of their new zones in their new ordinance. And almost all the zones in all the new ordinance, you know, are now elaborate lists of things that you can do or need to get permission to do, or and for example, some of the ridiculousness of it, if you had a portable generator, like a little Honda generator, you couldn't use it on your property without going before planning and zoning and getting a conditional use permit to operate that, you know, because it might be too noisy for a neighbor or something of that nature. And so their thought was at the time, the people involved, we're going to protect everybody from themselves by having all of these rules and regulations. And it also took out a second dwelling. And so a number of us felt like this is just plain un-American. And, really oppressive. And so we organized a good showing at the county meeting where they were going to take care of this issue. And we had the room full and half of the parking lot full because people couldn't get in the room. And it's commonly referred to as the pitchfork meeting now when they talk about it. So we had a lot of good support. We had some members from Deer Springs there and others, and the basic response from the existing members was, gee, we didn't know. We haven't heard anything about it. You know, why didn't you participate in any of the process? And it was kind of frustrating because we're like, what process? Why were we ever notified? This was the first notification that you were going to do something like this. So we've seen a pretty good turnaround from the county then. Particularly, I would credit two of our county commissioners, Mark Habishaw and Commissioner Heaton. They also came and they said that they felt like that the county had acted without authority. And so they changed and made Doug Heaton the chairman over planning and zoning, and there were some resignations from the county planning and zoning, and there were three new openings opened up, of which Dale Clarkson is one of the three new individuals. So he and Dale Spencer, who's a local rancher, and Heaton, what's his first name?
Dennis.
Anyway, another guy who has a lot of real estate background. So for several years, and the commission, the commissioner over this admitted this in public, that if you had anything to do with real estate development, management, or large ownerships, that those people were not going to be allowed to be on the planning and zoning committees. Because they felt like that, as his words, he says, I'm not going to allow the fox in the hen house. And so you had a commission with no balance, no perspective. You know, people that the most real estate they've ever owned is, you know, maybe a residential lot, making these decisions. And so it was easy to see how it got so far off balance. And in general, throughout the western United States, and Utah has this really, in my opinion, a very negative organization called the League of Cities and Towns, which is all about forcing more organization, more structure, more rules, more of these types of things into the ordinances. And so, in any case, we've come a long ways and we've switched things around. We've stopped the direction they were going, but they still are left with the fact that their current ordinance doesn't say anything about forest and recreation. So I went before them a couple of meetings ago. They had a work session on it. And I said, look, the simple fix for this is to simply take the forest recreation zone and put it in your ordinance. These properties are all already zoned forest recreation. And they had a new attorney there who said, well, I don't think so. That's not in the ordinance. These properties are not forest recreation. And so even we had a lot of debate about where we even are, a lot of confusion. So what is it zoned right now? You know, according to their attorney in that meeting, it must be zoned something else. But, you know, it wasn't ever, and I said, well, where's the process that rezoned it? Where's the public hearings? And so they kind of talked back and forth, well, maybe, yeah, we need to do something. And they seemed to be a real resistance for them to simply just take and add that as a new zone in their ordinance. And they said, well, how about we take one of our existing zones and we scale it down so that it matches the descriptions and the freedoms associated with forest recreation, and we zone it that. And I told them, well, I guess personally I could say that would work, but I still think you're going to have a lot of confused and misinformed public. Even if you change nothing but the name, you know, what reasoning would you have to do that? So I don't know. There's still, you know, some segments of the of that, you know, pushing forward. But I know with people like Dale and Dale Spencer and the others.
Wade
Heaton.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to allow that to happen. But in the meantime, the others aren't allowing the other to happen either. So we're still in a state of limbo. And but I can tell you for sure that, you know, Doug Heaton, Commissioner Heaton, is on track for the kind of freedoms that we would want to preserve. And
I think everybody should know also that Jim Madsen is going to be our new commissioner,
And Dirk Clayson is going to be our new commissioner. So we have three very strong property rights men going to be in charge of the county during the next 4 years.
So that voting's done?
Yeah.
They got in just in the primary.
Well, we still have to be voted on in the November election, but we're the only name on the ballot. So,
what's the ballot?
You know, the Democratic Party, for example, didn't bring forward a candidate this year. And but in any case, you know, there could be a write-in campaign or something that might upset that. So I think to some degree Commissioner Heaton is saying, hey, maybe we just need to wait until January 1st and then we can take care of business. But I think we've kind of stopped the freight train that was moving in a really
bad direction.
And we still are going to have to unravel the onion a little bit over the next several months. And so you shouldn't go to sleep on this if you have feelings about preserving your land rights, because the direction historically is to take land rights away from the owner and reserve those to those that want to make the rules. And that whole philosophy, I think, will definitely change come January 1st and is well on track to it now.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
The Utah Patriots is what we've been pushing to teach everybody to go back to the Constitution, and we've been trying to help them in these processes to get these things turned back around. It's really important that everybody stays involved. October the 13th, they told us that at this Land Use Commission or this Planning and Zoning that they will be making those, the ordinances, anyway, and so we need to be in there to be a witness to the process to make sure that those are the things that we want to have voted in. So anybody that is local or is there, we should be there on that 13th, on October the 13th, and the work meeting starts at 5:30. But they have been very responsive, and it's awesome. I think we're on the way to get things turned around in our own community, and so each community needs to do that for themselves. It's awesome.
You know, the county has had some landowners that have gone in and really raised the stink about something that's going on with a neighbor or something like that. And you get, you know, three or four of those people going to the meetings regularly saying, well, we shouldn't allow this, we shouldn't allow that. And they tend to be more vocal than some of us that, you know, maybe feel like preserving rights is more important. So you know, to some degree, that's been the root of the problem, too. So that's probably enough update on that. Fire management, Brent Fulmer.
Well, contrary to my normal back on my career philosophy, where I'd rather fight a fire than prevent one, luckily this year we haven't had any fires up. We've had lots of water, lots of in the form of rain, very little lightning, and so we've been pretty lucky. There's been a couple of fires that have been reported. I don't know if they ever found what the cause was. That was out over by the Johnny Brown. But other than that, we haven't had anything. However, we did a fire treatment along Meadow Canyon. I don't know if you guys have seen it. A fuels treatment is what we've done. They went in and cut back along the road there through that heavy oak. And as an example of what some of the things that the Kane County Emergency Services and the fire warden would like to do on our main ingress-egress routes through the ranch. And so if you get a chance and you're driving up Metal Canyon, just north of the gravel pit before you hit the cattle guard is where they did the treatment. It's mostly on the west side of the road. It goes back about 15 feet. And then the other thing they did is, and this is the state that came in with their chipper, they went up to Larry Murphy's lot, who had, and Larry had spent a couple of $1,000s in having his property limbed and trimmed. And because he'd done that, the state came in and they actually took their chipper up there and chipped some of his piles. As a cooperative effort for property owners who are willing to invest in limbing and trimming and that, as an example. So anyway, they went up there and chipped some of his piles up. They left piles of chips alongside the road, and they cut down, they trimmed the oak back and left us some fence stays and some firewood. But anyway, we haven't had a fire. We're pretty lucky. And once again, you know, I've always had this philosophy, as long as it's not my property burning, I'm really not all concerned about it. However, because my neighbors have, you know, I am concerned about them. But, so we're doing pretty good, and we've got the county, the warden donated two base stations for us, and we're going to set one up down here in the waters, and I'm going to put one at my place, and then we also have a permanent radio pretty much out there on the Johnny Brown. So we're fairly well covered now from a communication standpoint if the cell phones don't work, which they frequently don't, or the internet goes down, which it frequently does. So anyway, very cool.
It's great to have Brent's expertise in this arena.
Got a question?
Yeah.
I just think Brent stacked all that nice tinder alongside the road. It's getting nice and dry. Did you want us to burn it there?
The piles there?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are going to be burned. That's going to be burned there. That's what we're waiting for.
All those little holes, little piles?
No, the piles of chips, those are, we're going to use for anybody who would like to use them around their property, and we're going to use them around the cabins. And around the pavilion.
Pavilion's going to take quite a bit.
To get the mud, you know, keep the mud down, and keep the weeds from growing up.
Great for.
And so we just got to get in and haul them.
Yeah. In the meantime, that could burn very fast. So you know, when I was looking at that this morning as I drove by, I thought if that gone in there to prevent a fire hazard, then it's not doing the job the way it is right now.
Yeah, I don't think those piles of chips will burn that all. They might smolder, but they wouldn't.
They'll surface burn, but they're not going to get down in the inside. Those are, if you stick your hand in those or you pull them apart, they're wet inside.
Okay.
I mean, because we've had so much moisture here. And the truth of the matter is, there's only so much time. I mean, we're fixing the water system right now. We got to fix the windmill. And, you know, I mean, it's like, Deer Springs Ranch is almost my full-time job. I'm retired. And so I only have so much time I can, do it. Paul, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. I have suggested to Paul that he takes those pesky hours between midnight and 4 in the morning when he's usually sleeping. He could become much more productive. But we're gonna haul those out of there as soon as we can.
So the question then, can people go in and haul those out right now then?
You can.
Take them up to the pavilion. Take them up to the pavilion.
Half of them we're gonna probably end up using around the pavilion, but if you have some that somebody wants to haul and put around their property, they can take them. They're more than welcome.
If you get some soft spots in the road, too, I know they might tend to wash off, but if they work into a road when they're soft.
We can use them in a lot of different ways. We also had a chipper donated last year by a member.
We call it Fargo,
after the movie. And ever since this road issue has been handled, we don't have that many bodies we've got to get rid of. But the chipper's available. We'd prefer to have somebody go with it who knows how to use it. And we can go and actually chip some material on your property if you want. If you have, you know, have it cut up and limbed and trimmed. So
Zach's not busy for the next couple months.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sir?
Okay, water tank and lower water system, Paul.
Throughout this season, I've gone through and replaced valves that were broken, and a lot of them were PVC ball valves that were malfunctioning and wouldn't shut off. And, you know, the handles were broken, so there wasn't even a little tab to spin. There was three cabins out of the four right here, or out of the five right here, that you couldn't shut off, which kind of creates an issue if you had a broken pipe. You can shut the water off by going up to that big culvert sticking up by the road, but that water drain is quite a bit of water. So I've gone through, with the help of Brent with his backhoe, digging up some holes and replacing all the valves on all the cabins with stop and waste brass valves. And we put a new hydrant in over here by the fire pit. I don't know if you guys have seen the new fire pit up there, but there's a hydrant there that was part of what the fire guy told me to put in there. We also put a valve there. But there's a new hydrant here with a shut-off valve, so I don't have to shut the whole system down to fix that hydrant. You just shut the valve, fix the hydrant. Pretty simple. So with that, you know, we can isolate from here. We can shut the headquarters down without shutting the cabins down. We can shut the cabins down without shutting the headquarters down. I just think it makes sense. You know, we're looking in the future of expanding the system. It's kind of hard to expand something that's all busted up. So trying to get it to work. I've been pushing to get this tank relined. I've been pushing all summer. It was supposed to start in May. It never happened due to scheduling conflict. But we got the contract signed, and the tank is actually in process as we speak of being sandblasted and relined. Hopefully, keep our fingers crossed in the next couple of weeks, get that system back online, ready for wintertime. I have a new pressure relief valve, or reducing valve, sitting over here to go in, and the system should be 100% come first week or two in October.
While Ron, you talked about the state certification on the two systems we have, and about your training a little bit.
The board of directors has allowed me to take classes, and I kind of pushed them on it. I think it's important that there be a certified water operator that lives here full time. Barbara Button was the old, I think it was Barbara and Taylor, both. They were the certified water operators through the state to operate the system. So I took some classes and I got certified. I won't tell you what my score was, but I passed. No, I was good. This year, every 3 years, they do a sanitary survey, and I think there was one thing that they didn't mark on us, which was on the tank. But other than that, the system here passed with flying colors. That's pretty exciting. You know, in the future, I'd like to see, you know, us continue putting money into this system to make it better. And you know, we don't chlorinate the water. Straight well water, and the samples have come back good. So that's a good thing for the ranch. I look at, you know, what we can do. There's some certain people that invested money into that water system, and this year, unfortunately, they haven't received much water from us. But in the future, I can see us expanding the water system to where a lot of people in this lower branch could have water coming from Deer Spring, from this system. And I'm trying to get the system on the upper system, up by the upper cabins, going, and it's going to take a little bit of time and effort up there to get it to where the system is down here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Vance Green isn't here, but you can kind of read his statement on the website here on the agenda. And then, Shauna, I'm going to turn the time over to you for Ranch Olympics.
Oh, we did have fun. So, now, let me tell you what we did. First of all, in the morning, the first thing was we had goat milking contest. And little Aaliyah, but I don't see her.
She's over there.
Aaliyah, come here.
Aaliyah.
She was the number one goat milker.
That's always kind of unfair to allow a professional to
enter. Yeah, hot coffee.
Aaliyah, let's learn sharing.
We had a huge pancake eating contest, but there were so many pies that we kind of, I don't know how to do that. Oh, I forgot my rock. Oh, forgot the rock. And moving right along, okay. After that happened, we actually took a tour, and I had a bunch of children. It was raining like crazy, and Shannon was going to go with us, and we had an emergency down in the wash where some people got stuck, and so Paul had to go help get them, and he took the Kubota?
Kubota.
And it got stuck, and then they had to come back and get another, it was really an ordeal. So they had a little venture while we took our kids in the back of the truck and took another venture trying to get around the ranch up there, and the road was so wet that I finally got stuck, even in my four-wheel drive, but I was able to turn back around. We're back on the top. We're going to make the loop around, and we actually had to come back. It was just too muddy. Anyway, and I know we should be on a muddy road, but we were going to do the tour, and now we're going to take them fishing, so we had to go all the way back around and take them back to the ponds where we had our picnic. It was a lot of fun. Some kids got out, even in the rain, and they fished a little. And I don't know that anybody really caught anything. They tried.
Did they go on the zip line?
They did. No, it was raining, but only Aaliyah brought her swimming suit. She was going to go swimming, but it was a little bit chilly. So some of us had picnics inside the vehicles. The others of us stood out in the rain, and that was okay. And so we'll be really happy for the pavilion when it gets up. We'll be happy to help you guys. And then we came back and played a new tournament going on, but I thought it was new, but actually I found out after we built this. It's called cornholing. How many of you heard of cornholing before? Have you ever heard that? Back east, it's Olympics. I mean, it is major. You have to have everything exact. So I built the exact cornholing boxes that are over here on display, and you can come and learn how to play cornholing. It is a lot of fun. It's better. That's right. Paul was really good. And our winner for that Olympics was Alan Moorhead, and he's not here today. So we will save his popcorn and his medal, and whoever knows how to get hold of him, we'll leave it here so you guys can... Next time he shows up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you can eat it. And we also had target shooting for bow and arrow and rifles and guns down there at the shooting range. I don't... Who was the one that won that, do you know? You don't remember. I'll have to ask them. I know who, but I've forgotten. Anyway, we did have a winner for that. And so we have them a life-size target. It's actually...
Is that the guy with the mullet?
No, I didn't bring the mullet one. This is actually just a man. Yeah. Anyway, we had some really scary-looking targets.
Yeah.
Some really good ones. And then we had a water balloon volleyball going on, played down here even in the rain. And then we had a chili cook-off.
First annual chili cook-off.
The first annual chili cook-off, and Kenley is our hero. More beans, isn't it? More chili.
Thank you.
You have to take off your hat again.
Really
yay! Anyway, we'll see you guys next August. Now remember that we'll leave the cornholing. You guys practice when you come. And in August, we're going to do this again. And it's
second annual.
It'll be our second annual Olympics. We're on a roll. Okay. Thanks.
Good job.
All right. Is lunch ready, Paul? Do you suspect?
That's it.
And we're probably not quite ready to announce. I don't see our vote counted out here yet, but we'll adjourn for lunch. And sometime when we have our votes counted, we'll announce the new board members, and that'll be the end of our meeting. So everybody enjoy lunch.